Why are we still here? Just to suffer? Every night, we can feel DP7 and Justice, even Starbrand. The comics we've lost, the characters we've lost, won't stop hurting. It's like they're all still there. You feel it too, don't you? We're gonna make them give back our past.
Welcome, new You Maniacs, back here at the Spinner Rack here at Season 5, the last season of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, also known by only us as the voice of the new universe.
Hey, the voice of the new universe.
Hey, it's the postseason.
Right on.
And we are your hosts.
Steven with the War Number 3 and...
Andy with the rad count.
Woo!
How many millisieverts? That's science for radiation.
Oh, I thought it was about the movie with the BMXers or something.
Oh, so that's just straight rad, yeah.
Oh, okay.
New universe, of course. If you're here, you might already know, but launched in 86 as an imprint for Marvel Comics, dedicated to occasionally being
Take
a
two,
more.
take two.
We occasionally try and be a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics. New Universe, of course, has changed a lot in 2.5 years. Pittsburgh is gone, forming the Pit. The government's been drafting paranormals into the army, occasionally sending them on foolish missions. And only one miniseries remains, and it's the War. War. So with this podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic of the War, or go back and listen to all of them from the beginning in some kind of dangerous time loop, counting down to the end. Two comics to go. Two comics. In between episodes, make sure to open lots of tabs of kickersinc.com. Our publication schedule's on there. And post lots of retweets about at Kickers Inc. from X, right?
Right on. Yeah, we may have to revise the new U publication schedule or reading plan schedule. I don't know. It's
a little questionable.
It's still a question. Well, this week we get to the end of the line for the new U, the War. Before the end of the war, all of the paranormals will become pawns in a vast and deadly political game, said Howard Mackey. So this week, Marvel Age solicit, the War Limited Series number 3. The unthinkable has finally happened. Nuclear war! In one of the most realistic depictions ever, see what happens when the shell-shocked survivors try to rebuild civilization from the irradiated rubble. Written by Doug Murray and drawn by Tom Morgan, a new universe graphic album, of which there should have been more. 48 pages, direct sales, 350.
And if we don't go too long, we'll talk about some timeline issues. Maybe try and figure out exactly where this fits into the end of the other series.
Yeah, going by just release date, isn't always 100% the best way to go, I guess we've learned.
Apparently.
Let's
We'll get it figured
see.
out.
Well, let us dig on into the War Limited series number 3, which we'll call just 1989 as a cover date, and
Yeah.
we believe hit the newsstands May 2nd, 1989. So we'd been going in pretty much real time up till just, I think, last issue, where we were, coming out weekly. And now we've gotten into the end of the new universe, and there's just this one book coming out once a month. We probably won't release the podcast episodes that way. Just,
Don't want to drag it out.
yeah.
Let's just get in there and end it.
Oh, no answer. Anyway, the cover of War Book 3 is pretty interesting. We were just chatting that it reminds us of the cover to Kickers Inc. number 10. Going back a bit on that one, I know, but that was the one written by Adam Blaustein, and it was where I guess originally conceived as a crossover between Kickers Inc. and Merc.
Right. We were all super bummed that we didn't actually get, because it would have been
Yeah.
fun.
But it had Jack and the Kickers in this sort of tropical island with a military, unfriendly military, and trying to rescue some pilots. Jack is confronted with moral dilemmas. He's not, a combat guy at that point. Interesting. I'm not 100% sure it's, meant as an homage, but there are similarities, so.
Yeah, I remember that issue fondly, though I don't remember, it's been a while, so I don't remember exactly how much I liked it at the time.
Cover is strong, though. I think the characters on the cover: Jack Magneconti, Jeff Walters, aka Lur, and Pitbull, are all kind of bandaged up a lot, and Jack is handling RPG, bazooka, something like that.
It looks kind of like one of those classic Liefeldian tube weapons.
Oh, there you go. And it's in a just a jungle, and some looks kind of like a photo montage in parts, I wonder.
Yeah, it's like the somebody took a picture of their backyard and like superimposed some close-up shots of their house plants. It actually,
Yeah.
I like it at first glance, and your eyes kind of drawn to the characters, which look good, and then it's like. Yeah, like plastic plants or something. It's just the photo realism mixed with comic, I despise.
It's interesting historically, maybe, in that it's still pretty early for computer imagery. So I don't know if they were
Yeah.
doing this sort of more mechanically, however you would have done it back then.
Right.
Really,
It
not really
screams of
clear.
lazy to me. It's
Okay.
comics, you're supposed to draw them, right? But anyway.
The back cover, we do have a drawing of what, as it turns out, to be like crocodile tails, and there's some sort of graphics of spikes or something, perhaps meant to think, make you think of teeth.
Right. Or the arcade game Pitfall.
Oh, yeah. Pitfall.
Those are real head scratcher until I read the comic. Like, why in the world are they some kind of serpent tail? So like, are we fighting the Serpent Society with Captain America kind of thing?
All right. It's no, that's Serpentor at the Serpent Law. What was that?
Cobra Law, yeah.
Cobra Law. No. Well, anyway, getting on inside, we've got the creative team is the same: Doug Murray, writer; Tom Morgan, artist; Paul Mounts, color art, which, as we mentioned, it's very vivid in this series. Howard Mackey was, of course, the editor for the whole new universe from season 3 on.
Yep.
And the title, Retaliation. So, when we last left our brave troops of paranormals, they had just instigated World War III, and the whole new universe was about to nuke itself to oblivion. This isn't underplaying it. There were literally nukes flying from about four different countries, and the
Right.
last page was, the shot from space of all of them heading off to Armageddon.
Looking forward to 48 pages of desolation and destroyed landscapes and nothing else, right?
Yeah, we're really hoping it was like flash forward 500 years and everyone's like in a Mad Max outfit, but the story up till now, yeah, it was centered in South Africa slash Mozambique, where the paranormals had been used, shall we say, by some South Africans to make an excuse for this nuclear attack and on some unfriendly rebels. The other great powers all just kind of took the opportunity to, well, if nukes are flying, let's just throw ours in the mix.
Go for it. Yep.
So anyway, we open up and they're not dead yet. We've got a nice splash page with the paranormal troop, so seven or eight of them, all in this jungle that's right outside the rebel camp where they had just tried to stop the nukes from flying at. And Jack, Magna Conti, Gridlock, Sergeant Haldeman, Shooter, Metallurgist. It's Pickett is injured. He's codenamed Troll, but hadn't really done very much. And a guy named Jacob Blau, aka NORAD, who said he could protect them from the radiation. So perhaps they're going to have the nuclear blast and then the paranormal will protect them. Jack is thinking that this sure isn't the way I figured to cash in my chips, hiding behind some sort of invisible protective shield, like some dang commercial. I actually don't know what that's a reference to.
Yeah, I don't know. Like a
I
Carl
always thought I'd
Bosch
go out
wax or
fighting,
something.
especially after I got into this paranormal army thing. After all, I'm a hero. That's what heroes do. They fight for their country. All right, let's just.
Yeah.
Sometimes they die for it, but not like this. So they flipping on inside, he's got he's still seeing the missiles flying overhead. And then he's envisioning what's going to happen next. First, a huge explosion, a blinding white flash we'll be able to see from here. Very close. Then a wave of searing heat. It'll melt the flesh right off our bodies. And you get, pictures of this. And eventually the radiation, rotting, whatever's left. Just a horrible image. And all I can do, all any of us can do, is cower here and wait for it. Now we switch over to the White House in Washington, D.C. still. This is, yeah, D.C. still, yeah. While Jack Magna Conti awaits death deep in the African jungle, other men prepare the same sort of death in the heart of the civilized world. We see some presidential aides packing up, I guess, the football, like the briefcase with the nuclear trigger
Right.
signals in
We don't need this anymore.
it. All out of nukes. Oh, sorry. Sell this for scrap, man. And the president, who we believe is Voight, we've finally done it. Finally started the last war, the war that none of us can survive. The aides tell him that's still to be seen, sir. Keep that sunny side up. Shall we retire to the shelter? No, no shelters for me. But, sir, no shelters. The people out there don't have them. Why should we? Listen, too soon. We've got to. There's a nice big panel of the whole Oval Office being demolished. And then there's a black panel. A great silence falls over the White House as the first missiles find their target.
Dang. Wouldn't the first missiles have been in South Africa since they only, well, in Mozambique because they only launched from one country away? They got the slow missiles, I guess.
Maybe, yeah. It's a these ones had to go all the way over the North Pole or something, probably. I don't know. Horrible. It's a end of the world, page three. Speaking of South Africa, we're flash over to the South African. It was a was it like an advanced camp, army camp with a stockade. And we see Kathy Blizzard, who is the major in charge of the paranormal platoon. She's saying, "I gotta warn the Pentagon. Got to." And the guards, racist South Africans, "Get in there, K word." I don't know how inappropriate these words are nowadays, but all you do is stay where you're put till we do tell you what we want to do to you. She is actually right next to Jeff Walters. Blur. "Walters, are you okay?" She looks at him. He is kind of
Blurry.
semi-catatonic. He is blurry. I gotta say, the way they're drawing blurriness is not as good as
No, yeah. It's just like
it's he
looks
looks
like they
kind of like
tried
a
to erase
ghost.
him. Yeah,
Yeah. We changed our minds about putting Jeff in this book. Can we replace him with Mastodon or something? People
will
liked him.
have to say that the panel where she's getting tossed in the prison is kind of like a lesser version of that famous like X-Men Rogue cartoon sh still shot.
She is a curvy young woman, I gotta tell you. Yeah, let's post that one on our X. And we guess what's going on here? I don't know, but
This will probably be the least offensive thing on the platform.
she says, "It's all my fault. I should have known, should have figured it out. All my fault." And as Kathy Blizzard tries to come to grips with her own sense of failure, we switch over to some of the guards, Colonel Ort, I believe it was,
Yep.
and the other South Africans, who had been conspirators, I guess, in the first issue. Ort is saying, "I don't understand. Shouldn't we be able to see the cloud by now?" "I would think so. Is it possible the paranormals have somehow stopped our missiles?" "Impossible. Such power does not exist." "Does it?" They knew there's a like the pit exists, and so
Yeah.
someone has power.
Who's the one from DP7? Vice versa would have been really useful if she was pretty strong, right? Just like send everything back.
Oh yeah. That missile comes right back at you. You dealt with the vice versa? Yeah. Yeah, we
We're
still
stuck with Troll, though. Who knows what the hell he does? He's a bullet
Yeah.
sponge.
He stops you from going over the bridge and asks you for change or something. You know, trolls regenerate in D&D and some
That's
of the literary
true.
predecessors of it. So possibly that's why he's still alive. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Acker, dead, the troll. If you don't, you know, it's only heat damage that'll kill him, whatever it was. Anyway, Ort and his friends don't know what's going on. And we switch back over to Jack Magnacati, who is also confused. "We're still alive. Something must have happened." He stands up and sort of looks over the hill. "Maybe we managed to disable their warheads after all. They were firing multiple cruise missiles at this location."
Yeah, there's a great like three panel sequence of like him like squinting his eyes like and then kind of peeking. Like,
Yeah,
what's
it
going
is
on?
nice. Yeah. Yeah, just a nice close up of him and his expression through this realization. The others are still sort of grouped together. He says, "It means we still have a chance. Garth, is there something wrong with your arm?" Garth Mengeling, aka Gridlock, the old man. I think it's dislocated, sir. When the missile hit me, it just popped out." "The missile hit you?"
I
And
think he
you
just fell
showed
off of
up.
his construct thing, but.
Yeah, I think he was up there a little high, so yeah. I can fix that. We used to have a guy on the kickers, a trick shoulder that go out all the time. You just grab the arm like this and yeah, he did, so he does that. And thanks, I think. So hopefully that'll hold him. Now, as I was saying, we still got a job that needs to be done. Get in there and kill a guy. I don't care how many nukes are going off around you. We're in the army and we gotta make to do. Being as how we're still breathing, I guess we should do it. Sergeant Haldeman, I want you to take Sano, Garth, and Lau and head back to the rebel camp. So that's I think there's seven of them. So Garth, who just got his shoulder relocated there, I wouldn't think would be a great person to go, but okay. NORAD, who they seem to be have a radiation protection power. Shooter, well, that's a good, sharpshooter. And Sergeant Haldeman, who's not just a drill sergeant, he's also a
World
warrior.
pain. Also, for conveniently forgetting that he has paranormal abilities.
Oh, right. Yeah, he could make the whole rebel camp depressed and unable to continue. See, shooters, how come we get to do the dirty work? Shut up and keep moving. Just watch where you put your feet. Freeze! And yeah, someone was about to put his feet over a tripwire. We must be near the camp. What does it do, Sarge? We don't want to find out now, do we? Hey, I read through a few issues of the NAM. I think the tripwires were quite common there. It really left an impression on writer Murray.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sir Haldeman says, just follow me and keep frosty. Camp should just about. They sort of peer through some foliage, and you see two or three of these giant missiles buried in dirt and like tents of this rebel camp, fires everywhere, and people running around helter skelter.
Yeah,
Yeah.
a lot
Those
of
missiles
people with
too.
their arms up, like running away from a ghost Scooby-Doo style, kind of.
It's true, they are kind of reaching for the sky there.
Missiles are surprisingly intact for having slammed into the ground, too.
Yeah, I don't honestly know how durable missiles are, because when they were, trying to hit them or shoot them or whatever last issue. It was like, are they like really delicate? Like, I think airplanes are kind of, it doesn't take much to disrupt them totally, but.
Right. You'd think maybe smacking it with a giant tree might do something, but guess not.
But yeah, these just go straight into the ground and they're still in one piece. So, okay. They're smoking. I don't know. These missiles did hit their targets. Didn't go off though, says shooter, I believe. Wonder why these jokers are running around like that. Wouldn't you if a nuke just landed in your backyard? Yeah, I can see that might be a problem. Sure wish we'd made it that night in Georgia, he says, looking over slyly at Jacob Lau. I think he's just talking about how they wish they could have hotwired that car
Yeah,
on
tried
the
to
way.
escape.
So there's more going. And say that again. Hey, what's that noise? It's Pit Bull! Woo! Pit Bull to the rescue. And by rescue, I mean he's gone completely mental and is killing everyone around him.
Finally.
Now it's the Pit Bull in action. All right. We've been open for something crazy. And they're like, look at his face. He's gone berserkers. And we get a panel that's pretty awesome of him sort of double gunning at a crowd of silhouettes. There's like 10 people like being gunned down in this. He's completely crazy. He was always nuts. Not this nuts. Stay down. Yeah, he could definitely kill all of them too. Yeah, this is we haven't seen carnage like this since early Justice, I think.
Yeah, with kill counts have been pretty weak.
Even Merc didn't just go nuts and kill the whole village in a Mylai style or anything. So, anyway, switch back to Washington, D.C. Everything's dark. But then the lights come back on. What? Mr. President? Mr. President? What? Dear God in heaven. And you get a nice shot in the Oval Office with a Russian missile coming right through the ceiling. The old CCCP on I like everyone, identifies their missiles pretty clearly. Hammer
Right.
and sickle. Mr. President, Phil, this is the only time they call him by name. So Philip Nolan Voigt, more or less confirmed, I'd say. This is an aide talking. There's more missiles outside in the Rose Garden. And I can't understand how, but we're still alive. None of the missiles went off. None of them. Well, if theirs didn't go off, it's a safe bet ours don't either. That means we have to find out where what the Russians are up to. Now, switch on over to Moscow. What are the Russians up to? They are confused as everyone else. It is beyond belief, translated from the Russian. Is it possible? Could all our scientists have been so wrong? Have we wasted all these years of preparation? You see more
Did we buy our
missiles.
plutonium from Timu?
It's a good question. If literally everyone had been operating under the, nuclear weapons will go off under these conditions and they didn't at all work, you'd really have to wonder what was going on. Yeah. Is this just one of those phony things like that cold fusion they told us about? I don't know. All those trillions of rubles on this fiasco? This
What's it
is an
like,
outrage.
$40?
No idea. This is an outrage. Someone must be made to pay for it, says one of the senior
Turtleneck
guys.
lab coat guy, yeah.
The purges can wait, says the general. We need to make plans on what is to be done now. We have to act before. Here he comes. They always have this like teleconference with Fidel Castro, who's he looks like one of the Dark Side's
Yeah, a
minions,
little bit. But
the Hunger Dogs. I
I
don't
like to imagine the Russians like, ah, oh, Castro's calling again. You better answer it this time. It's your turn.
know. You go to the other side of the room where the camera won't see you. Like, make cut him off noise, motions with your hand.
Sorry, Castro, or we're driving into a tunnel. Losing reception.
Plan, plan, plan. That is all you old men ever do. I have already made my plans, and my men will accomplish them now. Okay. Switch back to the rebel camp where Pitbull is still going nuts. He's shooting everything that moves. Everything that moves is just rebels, so okay. A scarlet thought to kill anybody, anything. Just kill and kill and kill.
These aren't
Wow.
like necessary, these are almost the good guys that he's killing, right? So like if the South Africans were kind of the racist bad guys,
This
these
is
guys
a.
were like rebelling for their freedom, plus a handful of mercenaries.
This is true. I agree with you. This is kind of morally ambiguous because we've realized that the people who sent you on this mission, the South Africans, were liars who were trying to get you killed. And so shouldn't their enemies be our friends? Maybe a little past that point at this time, though.
Yeah, people don't care.
Once you've set the pit bull on. He's lost it. You can say that again. Yeah, he's doing a real good job on that camp, says Haldeman. Haldeman's impressed. I whipped that boy into shape. Did a good job. Anyway, they notice that someone behind him is mounting a resistance, and yeah, we have a good group of rebels who make one last desperate effort to finish the berserk pit bull. So there's a good handful of guys all firing at Pitbull, and it snaps them out of it. Their target suddenly sobers, coming to realize where he is and how vulnerable he is. Oh, come on, he's not vulnerable.
Yeah, not that vulnerable, yeah.
Gotta get out of here. I'm tough, but I ain't bulletproof. Yeah, you're kind of bulletproof, Pitbull.
Yeah, I
Anything.
think he kind of is, yeah.
He's gonna catch it. Picaro, get down. So he sees Haldeman in the bushes and runs and jumps. Gotta get to cover. And the other guys open up on the rebels as Pitbull leaps to safety. So more madness going on. And as that goes, we flip halfway a world away to another man who finds himself at the conflict with an army of the dead. And we have this nice vision of tons of characters that look kind of zombified. And if you think about it for a moment, they are the character. The faces of the characters that Harlan and Mook had killed in the last couple of issues. There's the guards from the Pentagon, the tourists from the Alamo, people on the airplane that he blew up or something, and maybe Moe from the Three Stooges.
I did a quick double check and yeah, DP720 with Pitbull. Jenny Swenson hits him basically like point blank in the chest with a shotgun and it barely annoys him. So Pitbull's pretty tough.
Maybe if you had 20 guys all firing military grade weapons at him simultaneously.
Yeah, that might be being generous.
But I
Anyway,
think
just.
Pitbull's gonna last out this war.
I think
I got
so
a good
too.
feeling about the Pitbull. Anyway, all these characters are screaming like in what was it, The Pit with the Witness when he goes to Pittsburgh. You killed us, Harley Mook. Now we're going to kill you. We're coming for you, Harley. It's your time to die now. Harlan Mook is standing there. I can't move, can't scream, gotta do something. All these arms are kind of reaching for him. Can't let them get me. And as the undead hands clasp on his helpless flesh, Harley Mook wakes shivering. And so, yeah, he's just having a dream. No, it was a dream, just a dream. No, I don't have dreams like that. There's something wrong. Someone's trying. So as he realizes that what's going on, the several miles out to sea, we have a small kind of patrol boat with at least one captain and Keith Remsen, night mask. Keith is saying, he had the dream, all right, and it won't be the last. The captain of this ship gives him some coffee and says, you know, this all means nothing, don't you? We saw the missiles. For all we know, the whole world is at war by now. And Keith, who has grown up a lot in the last couple of years, I guess, yeah, I know, but I've got a job to finish. I owe that much to all the innocents that maniac has already killed, and all the ones he still might kill. Captain replies, if there's anyone left to kill after this is over, well, let's look on the bright side and still
No,
kill
it's
some
always
more
this
eventually.
scrappy bunch of survivors in all these movies, right?
They tell me. I mean, I like that, this guy thinks maybe it's just the two of us. We're the last survivors of human civilization. So, coffee? Anyway, as he thinks about what's going on, we switch over to the stockade where Kathy Blizzard is looking at Jeff Walters and wondering if she can do what she thinks she has to. All that pain. Why should I do it for him? Why? Because I'm supposed to be his commander. Why am I even thinking about this? Were all those Rempf bozos right? Did you look that?
No, I didn't. I can get it while we're talking.
I'll just slowly drag. No, anyway.
Yeah,
Were they right? Are women too weak? Am I too weak? There's only one way to find out. She, remember, has some psychic powers. And she reaches, touches Jeff. And we see another photo montage.
I got REMF. It's a Vietnam era acronym
Of
describing
course.
soldiers who offer support but aren't fighting on the front lines. Stands for Rear Echelon MF-er.
It's nice. Murray in the Nom would always have like a glossary and letters page for all the Vietnam era acronyms he would throw into the stories.
Guess
So,
we didn't rate that.
as Kathy Blizzard makes contact with the nearly catatonic mind of Jeff Walter, she is flooded with pain, with the horror of repeated defeat, the agony of failure. It'd be great if she liked that. It was like ABC Sports would always show this like guy on a ski jump, and like he completely blows it and wipes out at the bottom.
No,
The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat,
just
type
some
thing.
bad stock images that don't really relate well to Jeff Walters.
I'm not sure what, like, the woman reaching across the burning building. There's some black children and a skull.
And a
And
saxophone guy on the street.
yeah, Walker Theater. I don't know if it looks kind of New Orleans-ish, but
His
not in a
family's from
great way.
Pittsburgh, so
Yeah, I don't, it's, yeah. I tried Googling up Walker Theater, did nothing kind of came up, so can't help you. Anyway, as Kathy Blizzard suffers, we see this the paranormal who was originally whatchamacallit,
He's kind of framed up to be the
framed
pit
to be the pit or the
culprit, the culprit of the pit.
Mr. Pitt.
Mr.
As
Pitt, now that's
we
been
see
fine,
him
though.
yeah, sort of staring at her some more, other eyes watch, and for the first time take on a glint of interest. So this guy hasn't talked at all, but he's there in that same prison camp. He's finally getting interested in old Kathy Blizzard. Well,
2.5 issues in, and he still hasn't really done anything.
yeah, I'm amazed they got that performance out of him for that videotape they took. I mean, the guy is see, pretty out of it, drugged up. I don't know. We don't know. Anyway, a few miles away, stinking bugs. Hope we don't catch malaria. Jack and the let's see, metallurgist and troll are like Haldeman took the other group, and these guys just headed straight back to the camp. And finally, the Limpopo River. Which Wikipedia tells me is actually the Limpopo River, which is the river between South Africa and Mozambique.
There we go.
Fairly big, but I couldn't really tell, how far across it is. So who knows?
Apparently,
Anyway.
you can wade across it, though, so it's not that deep, at
Yeah.
least in the comic book world.
The Chris asks, where are the boats? Come on, kid. Did you really think our buddies down south would leave them for us? That's a good continuity note there. How did they get up if they didn't have boats? Well, South Africans helped them across the river. Then they weren't going to help them anymore. So now you're on your own. So we'll cross it the old-fashioned way. If Stanley and Livingston could do it, I think those guys were in a different part of Africa, but okay. Maybe we should have stopped for a rest first. How are you standing up to the strain of carrying him? Ah, there's a crocodile right behind Chris. We get a nice double page spread of Jack Mangani punching a crocodile.
Oh,
Get
yeah.
Matthews across. I'll handle this walking suitcase. That is
Think
awesome.
this is a guaranteed one letter grade ratings bump.
It is, again, you're on the market for original art from the new universe. There's your Holy Grail there, buddy.
Right. Also, not exactly what we were expecting from All Out Nuclear War, and what did Mackie put it? Shell shock survivors trying trying to rebuild civilization from the irradiated rubble, or Magna Conti punching a crocodile. I guess I'll take the punching.
It yeah, it makes it sound more like Gamma World to this RPG, I remember. Yeah, the it could have been crocodiles in the post-apocalyptic world. That
Yeah.
would have been fine. It's just, he would have been trapped in the jungle for several years while the rest of civilization continued its collapse. So, but this works. I don't know. It works. Okay. Anyway, we're still going. So dozens of other crocodiles start making their way towards the trouble. Metallurgist and Pickett are out. So he yells, "Jack, get out of there." And Jack says, "This is way worse than the Green Bay Blitz. Got to, gets dragged under.
Come on,
Captain?"
man. Green Bay's not even in the same league as the New York Smashers.
"Can't fight these things. What can my stupid hubcap? Got to try. Got to do something." So Chris throws the hubcap into the water. Got to help. And several anxious moments later, we get a nice shot of Jack is kind of holding on to the hubcap like a discus, and it is pulling him clear of the water. So it pulls him all the way up into the air and brings him over to shore. "Made it. Another few minutes, and you did it, kid. You did it. It was just a case of Gatorade. Gatorade. Ouch."
Terrible joke.
This Jack Magnaconti laughs, kind of, to humor him, because he did pull him out. So.
That's true.
Good. His strength returning half a world away, another powerful man strains to recover his mental balance. And yeah, it's present void here. With balance severely strained in the last few days, is saying, "All right, let's see what the networks are picking up." And the TV, you always check the TV in the new universe to see what's going on. New York Central Park, right under the Eiffel Tower. And there's a nice missile right through the heart of Big Ben in London.
Who's
You see.
aiming four nukes at Central Park? I mean,
Well, I
guess you
mean,
gotta hit something in New York, but
I guess there's a thing they call multiple air re-entry vehicle or something, where it's like, one missile splits into multiple warheads. So you don't really need to do, like 10 separate missiles at one Central Park. Even if you did, you'd want to kind of space them out a bit. But anyway. "All of these were successfully targeted and all substantially unharmed," this is a reporter standing outside. "Their best minds tell us there is no rational explanation for why these weapons did not detonate. Is there a God? Is it by virtue of his mercy that we are all alive today? We don't know, and turn it off." That clinches us. They don't know any more than we do. "So what do we do next?" they said. President thinks about what to do. Jack Magnaconti and his two friends finally get back to the South African camp, which, here it is. We made it. Now to call for, "Hey, in there, it's us. We're back." The guards, not as friendly as they were in the last issue. "It's them. Remember our orders. Let's get it over with." They start shooting at him. "Hey, it's us. We're your friends. They're serious," as the bullets go flying. "Get down, Chris. Get your head down." So he jumps back into the bushes with the other two. And they,
Yeah, like a fun little like Superman artistic flourish there for like him jumping too. It sort of feels a little out of place.
say, he's using his power. Paranormal. "Why are they shooting at me? They liked me. At least I thought they liked me. Wait a minute, what's that?" Jack notices that some of the rebels had been following them, and they brought up some pretty heavy hardware, and they are ready to attack the camp now. Can the South Africans stand up to that? I mean, we've got bazookas, something that's motorized.
It's like a tractor with a cannon mounted to it.
Yeah, I don't
Full
know what they're
stretch.
called, but it does look, it's heavy duty. "And the major, what about the major?" "I don't know, kid. I just don't know." Switch over to inside the camp, where Colonel Ort is left to cope with a scheme that's come completely unraveled. Who thought bringing a bunch of paranormals over, nuking them, getting every other country in the world to nuke each other in response, just wouldn't work? I don't know. He's starting to have second thoughts. "Colonel, it's the rebels, sir. They've got us surrounded. What do we do?" We fight you if we can't kill the K-word. On our own ground, we don't deserve to win. Now do we? Their weapons. Get back to the walls! Fight or die!
We don't have walls, it's just a fence.
Barely barbed wire, sir. And as he, you know, mounts a defense, Kathy Blizzard is knocked out, but she's trying to regain consciousness, and there we see sort of a hand coming towards her. She smacks it away. It goes right into the barbed wire. Get
Is
away
that
from
it,
me.
or did she like scratch him like Catwoman?
That's a good question. We've got both like her claws and the barbed wire in this
The
hand.
barbed wire is a little more plausible, but
I
the
thought
art
she
makes it look like Catwoman.
You're right. It could be either way. She those claws are pretty. Stay away from me, you miserable excuse for a man trying. Take it easy. So the Mr. Pitt is kind of cowering like a scared puppy, and she thinks to herself, "Take it easy, girl. Look at the poor moron. He's no threat. And it's not his fault. It's the people who made him like this. What else could he be in a place like this?" Whatever this guy's story is, it better be good. I don't know what
Right.
I'm looking at even
Too
here.
bad she can't read minds. Oh, wait.
You could tell when Jack was all horny, but this guy, nothing. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have that excuse. Can't hide anymore. I've got a job to do. One that has to be done. No matter how much it hurts. She's looking at Jeff. No matter what it costs me, I owe it to Jeff and to the rest of them. We don't know. We switched the page. Flip the page and back at the White House. There's no question, sir. The satellite pictures show them clearly. Dozens of ships all loaded to the gills with men. Where are they from? Cuba, sir. All within the last 2 days. That idiot Castro. What does he think he's playing at? What do we do about it? 2 days. Okay. Anyway, it looks like they're sending ships from Cuba to, I guess, Africa.
Right.
As the
Or
Cuban ships
just some
steam
sort of
towards.
carnival cruise. Yeah.
It's a bunch of retirees, sir. They seem to be playing a lot of pickleball, and I don't. The Cuban ships steam towards the coast of Africa, and another ship lies there, anchored and waiting. Waiting for what? It knows. For it knows not what. Yeah, we had this Russian general dropped off on a fishing, you know, fake fishing trawler off the coast of South Africa.
He just shows up like once per book, like being sad and like, why am I here? All
Why
I
am
can
I?
do is sit here and wait, and then that's all he does. There
Tomorrow,
better be
this.
some payoff on this guy in book four.
Yeah, he's got to have like the secret weapon to top them all
Like
somehow.
rescue them all or something, a show of unity. I don't know. Give me something, Russian sad guy.
He thinks, I know there were missiles fired. What has happened? Why has there been no response from Moscow? Has the whole world gone mad while I sit here in the middle of nowhere?
Is Castro clogging up the phone line so I can't get through?
Colonel, urgent message from the Kremlin. At last. Seconds later. Cubans already on their way. And I am to wait. Always to wait. Wait for what? The end of the world?
We don't know.
Don't ask me, buddy. It's
Why?
Colonel Ketchlusk. Okay.
Why are we wasting a page on you?
Chekhov's colonel has got to.
Chekhov's boat, maybe?
We move into Harlan Mook is telling a couple of underlings some sort of battle plan. And suddenly, Night Mask, or possibly the crazy version of Night Mask that we had encountered a couple of times, sort of poofs into the top of his strategy tape. How's it going, Harley? Kill anybody new today? Any new faces to add to my little parade? Take a look, Harley. Now he's got zombies all over the place. Did I miss anyone? You should recognize them. After all, you killed them, and soon now they're going to kill you. Never. Merlin stands up for himself. Good for him. I know it's just a dream, just an illusion. They can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. But I can hurt you. I'll kill you if you keep this up. Kill me, Harley. How can you kill your conscience? Your dream self. You're welcome to try. I'm waiting right now. In a ship off the coast. Coordinates 307 North. Come and visit me, Harley, real soon, if you have the nerve. But for now, have a good time playing with your friends. They've been dying to see you. I don't know. Like, can you take the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland? No, get them away. So we sort of, the camera pulls out a bit, and Arlen is sort of standing there in this room full of underlings, just screaming and warding off invisible, you know, things. And all his other guys in the room are like, he's totally insane. This man is to lead us. Is he just mad? I like that. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send you. And as we then we get some images that are a little vague, but the narration boxes are that it is inside Jeff's mind. Is the thinking about the failures that cost him all he holds dear in the world, thinking about the missiles he couldn't stop last issue. I did again. I failed again. Why, dear God, why do I always fail? He has the speed of a god, speed beyond that of any man, but yet despite the speed, he has never won a race that counts. The race for his life of his family, lost in pit. Race for the life of the world, lost as atomic missiles flew just past his fingertips. The race for that self-esteem, vital to life itself. So, the darkness of a soul without hope. But as he sort of mentally curls up in a ball, he gets a hand on his shoulder, and with extremely sharp fingernails, darkness that can be broken only by the touch of another. And he sort of snaps out of it. One who cares enough to have risked her own soul to bring him comfort. And we have a interesting shot of Jeff and Kathy sort of hugging with a sort of outdoor background and some actual like border that's like roses things.
There's like a barbed wire border in the previous.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I missed it.
So it turned into nice, happy flowers. So basically, all he needed was a hug.
Bring light into his darkness, the light of love and understanding. Even as one paranormal is saved, we're back at with current blah, blah, blah. Sergeant Haldeman and the squad. Keep running. They're right behind us. Let's hope they don't see the kid. So they do not see this kid. So they are being pursued by a squad of rebels. They left Shooter behind in foliage. And as they go past him, he pops up and guns down about a half dozen of them from behind. Take that. I'm sick of you creeps chasing me. Sick, you hear me? Oh, I think they did. They start shooting at him. Too many of them for me to shoot. Not enough ammo. Know where the rest of these guys are coming from, but Girth Minglin. Gridlock turns around. They've got him cut off. I've got to do something. For someone with the power of metallurgist, to think is to act. But with someone with the power of Gridlock, who is the person who is supposed to be doing things in this panel.
Nice job, editorial.
Throws like one of these jungle gyms to knock a Shooter into the bushes and escape the bullets. So in the wink of an eye, Sano is thrown from the path of danger by Girth's quickly expanding construct. Even as Pitbull slows down the remaining rebels in his own inimitable way. Catch us, suckers! Throws a boulder at them. Anyway, so they
would notably find... he has a gun in his hand. But Boulder would work too, I suppose.
I can just see Pitbull looking gun in his hand, and there's like a boulder behind beside him. Gun?
Thinking,
Boulder?
thinking with brain.
Gun? We have a close-up of President Voight again. That's the story, gentlemen. This is a command room, I guess, in a aircraft carrier. The Cuban vessels. I like how everyone communicates by teleconference. It's very futuristic for the 80s.
Yeah, it's not very 1989.
The Cuban vessels are rushing towards the South African coast at top speed, and our people are still there. We Americans are a peace-loving folk, even though we've just escaped a full-scale nuclear war. Anyway, I still cannot permit our people to become prey to the minions of some power-hungry dictator. That's why we've got to crush them all. I mean, therefore, by the power invested in me as commander-in-chief, I order you to stop those ships. Even if you have to sink every one of them. So, yeah, the Cubans are shipping people to South Africa. This is, the timeline in the story is actually a little funky there because it would take you a while just to like airplane people, right? Ships, I mean, this like Jack is like kind of in an ongoing situation. It's not never like, well, we've been in the jungle for 2 days running back to the camp or something. I mean, so
Yeah, at most like a day, right? Because it's like
yeah.
nighttime with Kathy Blizzard at some point, but
So I don't know. It's sometimes action movies do this, I know, but okay. So the commanding officers on this aircraft carrier, well, that was certainly clear enough. Shall I launch the strike group? No chance of a Vincennes screw up this time, immediately. Did you look up the Vincennes,
no,
Vincennes?
I'm guilty of not knowing anything.
It's I remember that there was a Vincennes incident, but I'd forgotten what it was. It was like an American warship in the Persian Gulf, sort of starts some fights with some Iranian gunboats or something, but then targets a Iranian civilian aircraft that was in the area at the time, shoots it down, kills about 300 people.
Whoops.
Whoops. Yeah.
I thought only the Russians did that.
It's interesting. Yeah, this is 88, 87, something like that. So yeah, if you think having a bunch of military stuff. We'll just park it off your shore and provoke you constantly, and surely nothing will happen. Oh, okay.
My missiles aren't hitting you. My missiles aren't hitting you. Whoops. That flight was bound for Italy.
Anyway, so within seconds, Tomcat after con Tomcat is F-14s or something, the Top Gun planes, I guess, right? Are taken off from the aircraft carrier. The pilots are young men weaned on the exploits of John Wayne and James T. Kirk.
Might be a generational miss there, but it
Yeah,
won't.
I mean, yeah, I just said Top Gun. I mean, that was a popular movie by this point, dude. Every one of them carries more firepower than a World War II heavy bomber. Everyone has the ability to kill thousands and start a war that could kill billions.
Wait, didn't we already do that? I don't
You just had nukes flying. I
know.
mean, I don't know how you can expect to sort of increase the tension level beyond, full scale nuclear exchange. But okay, well,
Also, none of the planes seem to be drawn with rockets or missiles on them. Just saying.
yeah, you're right. They sort of hang that stuff underneath the planes, so. And we get this sort of undershot. We get a copy of the previous panel on the next page, and as the Russians are looking at their satellite photos, which are apparently
We
what
got
they're
this
looking
straight
at.
from the artist.
Well, they've done it. Translated from the Russian. That maniac in Cuba is behind this. They didn't really have much choice. Well, what do we do about it? What can we do? We have no force in that area, and if we did, who would we use it against? Everyone is fighting everyone in South Africa now. So the Russians, Need to come up with their own plans. And yet, while the Americans are so occupied, is there not something we could do? You mean, we have our tank division standing by in the European plains, surely with no threat of a nuclear response. Of course! It is a perfect time. A perfect time to launch World War III our way.
Okay. This time we doing it my way.
Coming through the Fulda Gap, I think they call it. Anyway,
Yes. Well, yeah, United States is skirmishing with the tiny country of Cuba, so let's just attack all of Europe. Logical, totally makes sense.
It is ramping up whatever the situation, but yeah, as the men of the Kremlin.
The Americans have sent one aircraft carrier of their giant army. I'm sure they won't even bother to respond when we invade Europe.
NATO, what are those guys gonna do? NATO
Anyway.
used to be a thing. Anyway, the Haldeman and the group are running through the jungle, almost back to where we started. And as he gets close to the camp, stay close, and he gets strong-armed from the bushes. Oof! A few moments later, sorry about that, Sergeant, but believe me, I had a good reason. Jack Magna Conti gave him a clothesline, I guess. Is that it? I hope so. You almost broke my ribs, Captain. And Jack takes him over and shows him that, see, our friends are under attack. Believe me, they're ready to shoot anything that moves. We've just been another moving target. Thanks, Captain. My ribs and I both forgive you. Jack is shirtless, by the way. I kind of got ripped up a bit in the crocodile attack, so I'm still kind of looking at the cover. So he's not really bandaged, but he is losing the shirt. Okay. Was not in the same squad with Blur and Pitbull.
Yeah,
Anyway.
cover doesn't quite add up, but
It's more of a conceptual cover, I guess. Anyway, here's what we're gonna do. Wait, you got company. Don't the suckers ever give up? So the squad kind of circles. Man, how do I get out of this outfit? All of you, shut up now. Stay in a circle. Don't let them get close. And the guys all sort of grab rifles and look off into the bushes. I think it's time. Fast time, sir. Ready? Yeah, whatever happens now, it's on their heads. Dun, dun, dun.
not really sure what they're talking about, but
So I guess the rebels are surrounding them, but yeah, we don't see that ourselves. So how many and how dangerous it is? It's like they've been fighting the rebels all day, so
hey, Pitbull basically can take them all on himself, so.
Yeah. Sano, troll, metallurgist, hit the dirt, Pitbull, go wild. Okay. So as Jack and the paranormal force prepare for what may well be their last stand deep in the Afrikan camp, Kathy Blizzard wakes up. Jeff checks on her. Major, you okay? Jeff, you're awake. Thanks to you, Major. I've got to tell you, talk comes later. Let's figure a way out of here first. So they look outside, and the Hitler clones have been activated.
Yeah.
We've got the South Africans are racing towards the fences with heavy weapons of their own. What's going on? Something's really stirring things up out there. You suppose it's the captain and the others? I wonder. But I dare not try to contact the others now. Last time I did that, I almost got you all killed. There must be something else. Hey, isn't that Colonel Ordo over good Colonel seems quite busy. Maybe we should get busy too. I don't know. There's no dialogue for Ort, so
Yeah.
Kathy says, it's time for us to take the initiative. I'm game, ma'am. I just don't know if I'm able. She looks over at Mr. Pitt. Maybe you won't have to be, Jeff. She kind of gives him a come hither look. Maybe we can get a little help from someone else who's been used by these people. Okay.
Setting up something.
Deep in the perf he's kind of hunky, but he also seems to have like no mind. So
Right.
maybe that's perfect for a psychic.
Yeah.
You don't have to read someone's mind all the time if they're mind. Okay. Anyway, we now see Keith Remsen looking over the guardrail of a ship any second now. Oof! Hello, Mook. It's about time. Harlan Mook has just appeared in a very heroic pose, but you dare talk like that to me? I bring your death, real death, not the fiction of your dreams. True death, death to you and the crew of this accursed ship. As doing well. Really holding it together well there. You know, it's really not your fault, Harley. It's mine. Keith turns around. He's got a jacket on. Should have known better. Should have gotten you help when I had the chance. It's all because of me. You're mad, Remsen. Mad. I'm going to kill you now. Kill you and move to another ship so I can kill more like you. I don't think so, Harley. Keith pulls out a handgun. Shoots Harlan dead. Straight on. Well, it's kind of a hard to see what exactly is being shot, but Harlan kind of slides down the wall with a big blood stain behind it. It's all over for you. All over. He thinks to himself, maybe for me too. Rest in peace, Harley Mook. May you find forgiveness, as I hope I will be able to forgive myself for what I have done. Scene transition the strangest.
I did not see this one coming.
We move to deep space where we have the Star Child.
In Star Child man form.
Yeah, it basically looks like him or something. There was like a Jim Starlin thing, Adam Warlock, all that 70s weird trippy stuff. Anyway, as Keith Remsen prays for peace far, far away in the utter peace of space, the Star Child, the living personification of the Star Brand, sleeps, meditating on itself and the universe around it. My preferred pronouns are it. Thank you. Until that meditation is broken by a feeling of pain. So he sort of wakes up and then thinks like a long-haired silver surfer to himself. Earth, my birth world, it has taught me much. Now it hurts me by hurting itself. There are some things I cannot allow, some things that require action, even by such as me. Okay. For as my father finally learned to his great sorrow, great power brings with it greater responsibility.
That's a pretty unique line there.
Let me write that down. Responsibility for all living things. And there's a flash of the Star Brand and a magical trail headed towards the Earth. And that is it. Next issue. Aftermath. Wowzers.
Yeah, geez. That's like two pages of hits right there. It's like, okay, Harlan Mook assassinated. Right. And then random space star child, which is kind of confusing.
So I guess that's, well, yeah, that's
I'm
kind
gonna
of
start
confusing.
with though, I totally called two things. One, not the end of the world, because Playboy was still being published, right? Though I had no idea how they were gonna get out of it.
They
And
publish it on rocks. They draw it with a stick.
Me draw boob. Yeah, and then I was thinking that Nightmask was going to use his sort of like waking nightmare powers, you know, like because that last bit Harlan Mook was, you know, just standing there in the room, you know, kind of getting tortured by Nightmask. So.
Yeah, my Nightmask second round of powers were a little kind of hard to, yeah, he could kind of project things at you. Sometimes you would feel it. I'm not quite sure if I remember it any better, but that was a good call.
Yeah.
Don't know if I had any predictions. I kind of thought that the end of last issue would have been a great like final issue, and you just sort of solicit a couple of issues, and then actually, wait, never mind. That's the end of the new universe.
And
Disappears and
it could have worked, yeah. We'll have to,
yeah.
like, before the end, make our predictions of what we think book four is going to be, because all bets are off at this point, it feels like, right?
It has managed to surprise us, I think, in each issue, positively mostly.
Mostly. This one was a little off. I don't know. What did you think about the cliffhanger fake out, you know, like we launch all these nuclear missiles, it's the end of the world. The solicitation says, cleaning up from the radioactive wastes, and then you just have, the missiles drop like sticks and just don't explode, right?
Yeah, I don't quite know what to think. It's like the looking back on it, okay, the Star Child is involved, or maybe even before that, there was the issue of Starbrand where something was happening and we couldn't figure out what it was for a while. It seemed to be like the nuclear missiles all being removed or something. This is way back in Starbrand 14, I would say.
Yeah, struggling to remember that one.
Yeah, at some point the Star Child says, like, I removed the danger to your planet or something.
Oh,
So
okay.
maybe that was but then it's like, so when, did
Yeah, like when did that happen, right? Like
Yeah, when
that
did that
happened,
happen
and then
then?
just like nobody bothered to check for like months
For a
and
while, yeah.
right? Or
I mean, you can
is
imagine
Starbrand in a
him
weird timeline, or
taking, yeah, something that would have happened a few months ago, and then, yeah, how does that sort of sync up with everything else? And this makes it really hard for me to guess without.
yeah, because I mean, we're pretty certain that the war was supposed to be more like a crossover, like a mini event within the new universe, and then they kind of transitioned it to a bookend when they knew the line was going to get canceled. But because it, even so far, it doesn't really work as a as an ending.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it doesn't, well, like none of the prestige things drew in, everyone from the new universe, let alone like more than one or two characters. Just, I was just looking at Psi-Force 32 today. Ling Griffin didn't show up. We're not in Afghanistan at all.
Right.
It never sort of,
Yeah, because he had talked about like the Middle East and problems, and they were headed there. But like we got a little bit of Iran, but mostly just, the Harlan Mook part. So they're not even one of the major like players. Cuba
Right.
is, but they're not.
Yeah, you kind of expected if it was like Iran is involved, maybe they've increased, made provocative gestures, but South Africa and Mozambique, yeah, right? Okay.
Yeah.
It all comes out of left field, let's say, sure. And some of it's a little hard to follow. I mean, like I said before, again, they're bringing up a big, this is the person responsible for the pit, so let's do something. I thought they were going to attack some Middle Eastern country on that basis, but okay, this other country, fine. But then we know that that's not what happened, and so anyone making claims that they know what happened that gives you a different explanation is immediately like, doesn't, work for us. So I don't know. If it was like more plausible from our point of view, it would be better. I don't.
Yeah. It was definitely an odd read the first time through. It feels a little more normal when you kind of know what's coming, but like first read, I'm like, what? What's happening here?
There was also something about in the that the Night Mask and Magna Conti's storylines would kind of sync up at some point. So I thought this would be, sort of they'd all be
True, they
together.
did promise that, but they're pretty far away right now, so.
So yeah, that's not like, yeah, he's not gonna get from the Persian Gulf to, jump out of the bushes and rescue Magna Conti's squad there. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and if the whole Night Mask Harlan Mook section doesn't happen, right? He was basically like attacking the United States. Well, even if that doesn't happen, South Africa still has this crazy plan, and they're still like launching weapons against Mozambique in the base, and then that could still trigger the whole thing. So like his storyline doesn't really affect the outcome so far.
Right. Yeah. It could be completely a different you could have one book with Jack Magna Conti's squad and another book with Night Mask's assassination. But and it's interesting sort of bouncing back and forth between all these point of view characters. And it's always been kind of, very America centric. The new
Right.
universe. So to get this more international action going is nice.
Even if it's still kind of like America and then everybody else is bad guys.
It's also, yeah, America and everywhere else is a third world jungle. Whereas, yeah, there's nice places in Europe, dude. I don't know.
We like fighting in jungles.
I'm just saying. Yeah, this the Yeah, so I don't know quite what to make of where they're pulling this out. If but it is Voight as the president, but it wasn't his power that stopped the nukes, I'm pretty sure. And we don't have anyone else to sort of implicate in whatever happened here. So
Yeah, and the whole timing of Starchild is just weird because it's like, all right, Harlan Mook gets shot, then Starchild notices a disturbance in the force, kind of thing. And it's like where is he in time? Like, is it, the South African launch, and that's when he
that's the
is,
thing.
or we don't know.
If it was him, then yeah, why didn't he appear earlier? Yeah,
Right.
I don't know.
Is it the World War III thing? And he's going to stop that, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe the Cuban ships and then the Russians going in through Europe could be. Yeah, but why would you stop there if you already took care of everything else? I don't know. I don't know.
Plus, he already learned the lesson about like meddling and removing death and whatnot, right? So.
Star Child.
Was not expecting Star Child. Like who? So book four, like what would be the most unexpected cameo that we haven't seen before? Like who could they throw in?
Well, Mark Hazard Murkoff.
Well, he's dead though.
Was he? Yeah, the
Like the Max armor shows up, like the Russians invade with their
Oh, if
Max
that would
V2s or something. Yeah,
awesome,
that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, the if this was originally a series that would be like quarterly, still sort of designed to keep some of these characters that from the first books that were canceled together. Yeah. That's just let's see, Merc and who am I missing? Vickers, Night Mask, Merc and yeah,
Vickers?
Spitfire again.
Spitfire, yeah. But she lived
So
on through
Jenny's been in
DP7.
DP7, so yeah. He
Potiphar shows up, starts messing things up. I don't know.
Yeah, the Medusa web, I don't know. It's unlikely, but I'm a little annoyed we didn't get to Afghanistan, which really going to have a war with Russia and not going to
Yeah,
back to.
it feels disconnected, right? Just throwing South Africa in there. I get that it's sort of timely from 89, but from a new universe perspective, like, the major player was always Russia. So, like, having something with Russia or Afghanistan would have made a lot more sense, but.
Well, let's see. As I was gonna say, I mean, do you want to? So is yeah, is this the end? And does this like timeline? What have we seen that like it argues that this isn't like coming out at the end of the new universe in terms of its own story?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Starchild's the big one, right? Because he should be gone.
Should be gone. So this should take place before Starbrand 19.
Right.
But then Voight is president, and that was Starbrand 18.
Right. And then Brimley would still be around with like infinite power too. So if World War III's breaking out, he would presumably be a player. Right.
Also a good point. Yeah, it's a if the plan had been that these prestige graphic novels would come out, let's say, quarterly. So Pit comes out around number 18, and then the draft about 22. So this would be, you'd have another one at like 25, 26, 27, somewhere in there. I don't know if that makes sense. I think the Harlan story, because he'd been saying he was going to do terrorist acts in the draft.
Yeah.
And then we pick this up and they don't refer to like, oh, he's been doing this for a year now or something.
Yeah, because like presumably this is supposed to be right near the end of the new universe, maybe not exactly, but yeah, like they probably just had to kind of change some things as as it shifted and became like the last book. And there's only so much you can change, so then they don't put any dates on here. Like a lot of the new you would have like a nice timeline, like what year, what month we're in, kind of stuff, until it gets messy. So but
Yeah.
yeah, this
So,
would have been a much better follow-up to the draft because we'd waited so long for any of those draft characters to do anything that it seems like they just kind of disappeared.
yeah, if they it followed up a little faster, would it have been a better reading experience? It kind of became distracting when we see Night Mask and those sort of backup stories. We kept thinking, what happened to your draft activities?
Yeah, all the relatively pointless backup stories that didn't end up leading to anything. Yeah. I don't know. Do we give an overall nuking or pits?
I'm still psyched on it. I would give it nuking. I think it was like a B last time, so maybe B minus.
Yeah, it feels a little lesser than the previous. There's definitely some more action. And the art's pretty good, and there's a lot of Jack Magnaconti. So, I guess by virtue of the punch in the alligator thing, it's a nukin. But I'm a little wary heading into four, just because there were so many weird surprises in this one, like the bomb's not going off, and the Star Baby.
Yeah, I think the 80s had several movies of that based around realistic nuclear war, and then like everyone's dying slowly, the few survivors, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they were very negative on the survivability of nuclear war. It would have been a interesting way to just end the new universe. You've got maybe a time loop, before or after this, and then this just is destined to blow up at some point. We were talking, I think, before, if this is World War III, I think it would be more interesting to have Russia win World War III. Like that opens up, Red Dawn, about possibilities for a lot of storylines if the books were still going. And
Right.
if you've kind of already changed into an alternate timeline this much, just keep going with that,
Right. New York City becomes like a resistance hotbed because there's so many paranormals there, kind of thing.
Yeah, you could definitely have another year's worth of stories for the books dealing with that in one different from different angles. It'd be their own kind of age of apocalypse, I guess.
Yeah, a little bleak maybe, but it would definitely be interesting.
Bleaker than Pittsburgh being just.
I don't know.
He's in upstate New York. He wouldn't even notice
The
about
hurt of that was dampened just by how boring the book was.
that. Well, it was so let's see. We do not have very concrete timeline other than what we just said of between Starbrand's 18 and 19 as a
Yeah.
possible time. But yeah, I think it. Yeah, you're probably right that like revisions of the story were like, and modifications were made as they went along, where they're like, okay, this isn't going to work anymore. We have to change this into this direction. Interesting. So it'll remain kind of muddled. Probably that's my guess for next issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a prediction for where the story is going to go from here? And my guess, and it's probably way wrong, right? I'm thinking Starchild prevents actual World War III, like steps in some way, probably against the Russians, because we don't have any like POV characters over there really. So like if they invade Europe, okay, it's just going to be like regular war stuff. There's nobody there, so I think Starchild will kind of end things. That Russian guy in the boat's got to do something, right? So I'm thinking he rescues the, I think I mentioned already, but I'm thinking he rescues the paranormal squad and kind of breaks with his country in some sort of lame unity thing. Yeah, as far
It
as what
would be like a
happens,
cool like paranormals versus their, why do they send us out to kill each other? Shouldn't we work together? Kind of
Yeah, I'm hoping for
interesting.
some kind of showdown between Blizzard and Ort, like some kind of finality, like, yeah, take that, you racist, and maybe the sad buffed guy steps up to him or something, but.
Yeah, I think the sad buff guy and the current Russian colonel, there's several of these people who's they must have some power or something that
Yeah.
we haven't seen yet.
But yeah, if Starchild steps
Come on,
in,
Cather, get us out of this prison camp. Use your ice powers to build us a ramp that we can walk up, maybe? Or you mean you don't have ice powers?
maybe Starchild could also stop the battle between like U.S. and Cubans, but.
The Russians rolling into Europe didn't get much of a picture, but the aircraft carrier about to slaughter the Cubans definitely did. So maybe that's where the action will be,
Yeah, and I'm predicting it ends with one of those lame like photo image thingies. But my dream is that it ends with the time loop from Starbrand, and like, we cycle back to the first white event. Like one panel of that, I think that would be a cool ending. I'm pro time loop.
The time loop works if you're if you got like a definitive end like this, you know what I mean? Where it's
Yeah.
like either we go back and try it again or everything's just nuked to hell, So yeah, if apocalypse is off the table, I don't know.
No, but what are you gonna do, right? You finish War Four, you go back and read Starbrand One, right? Time loop.
Let me see. There's a couple of things. Great. We had a couple other things to talk about, but maybe that's enough for today. The last issue was not on schedule and took several months to come out. So we will not be repeating that in our podcast schedule. But keep in mind that we went from this through about 8 months before the final issue came out.
Dang, bunch of slackers.
Crazy, huh? It would have been crazy after number two. You know what I mean? Just.
Yeah. See you in 8 months, new Unifiles. That's it for this week's episode. Next time, finish up with our final prestige format miniseries, the very last issue of the original New Universe. The final podcast, not really, The War, number four.
The War Limited Series number four. And according to Marvel Age 77, World War III is over. It's over.
Oh,
Is
geez.
there any hope for mankind's survival? The final issue of the limited series reveals one of the most frightening futures for humanity. Doug Murray, Tom Morgan. Okay. Color by Paul Mounce. See, he was integral to this project. Now, when it did come out, Marvel Age 85, at last, the final chapter in the global conflict that will irrevocably change the new universe. Love suspense? Love surprises? Then look no further. This one's a shocker. Written by Doug Murray, drawn by Tom Morgan. Color art by Paul Mounce. New Universe graphic album, 48 pages, 350.
You will not get the job as the guy who says the side effects for the drug real fast at the end of the commercials.
My voiceover artist dreams have died along with
Just
this new
today. Yep.
universe.
All right, counting down to the end. Only one comic to go as the war concludes, and we won't keep you waiting till next year. We'll have a season five wrap up afterwards and an all new universe wrap up episode after that. Kickersinc.com, new universe podcast at gmail.com. Send us some spam. This has been the voice of the new universe. We'll see you back at the spinner rack.
Don't let the new universe die.
It's only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
If there's anyone left to kill after this is over.
Why are they shooting at me? They liked me.
Why, dear God? Why do I always fail?
Now, we Americans are peace-loving folk, even though we have just escaped a full-scale nuclear war.
dream.